everyone. Welcome back to episode 2 of Uncapped, hosted by myself, Casey Kapp. For those that have just listened to episode 1, thank you very much for tuning in. Glad you're back for episode 2. And I'm thinking for today's episode, we're going to take a deep dive into this year's most anticipated release, in my personal opinion, which was Bong Joon-ho's Mickey 17, starring Robert Pattinson, with Mark Ruffalo and Toni Collette. Little sci-fi and dark comedy movie we're going to get into. I thought it was great, but before I give you my personal opinions, I just want to encourage everyone to go see that movie in the theater because it was really great. We're going to talk all things Mickey 17 without giving that much spoilers away, just to give you the rough outline of what this movie is all about, and then we'll talk a little bit about Bong Joon-ho's directing legacy, just because he is arguably one of the most notable directors of this century, in my personal opinion. So let's get into it. Before we really start discussing Mickey 17 and Bong Joon-ho's directing legacy, I just wanted to take one little minute to discuss my goals for this podcast, as I am very aware that there are millions of film podcasts, but personally, my goal is really just to talk about something I'm passionate about, which is movies. I have no professional experience with making a movie or anything that involves that besides watching a movie. However, I did work at AMC Theaters for 6 years, so I guess we can add that to my resume. Other than that, I have no qualifications for why I should be talking about film, but I figured if there are millions of girls out there with health and wellness podcasts that probably aren't certified to be talking about that, then what is stopping me from talking about something I'm passionate about? And I think the overall goal is just to really get the love of theater and cinema back into people's lives as streaming has taken over. And again, I'm not here to convince anyone to stop streaming. Like, I love streaming a movie in my bed person. But I think going to the movies is a really dying art and a dying hobby, and we need to bring that back. So that's just really my goal for this podcast, and I just wanted to talk about something I'm passionate about. I will say, while I've always loved movies, as I'm sure most people do, I think that my love of film and really understanding film progressed during COVID because there really was just nothing else to do. I had this top 100 movies scratch off that you can watch all of IMDb's top 100 movies, and you scratch it off with a coin on a poster as you go. So it really got me into seeing some more accredited films that I haven't seen before at that time. And honestly, I am so happy that that aspect of COVID happened, just because I really love talking about movies and I think it is a passion that a lot of people have. So let's just really enjoy. I hope everyone learned something and get the love of the movies back. All right, so now getting into it, Mickey 17. This movie was highly anticipated. I remember seeing trailers for this movie last year, spring 2024, waiting for this movie to come out. They really teased the release of this movie by just saying 2025 until they finally landed a date to release it, which is March 7th, 2025. I just saw this movie yesterday and was very excited. I will say one thing about highly anticipated movies is that it can go either way. It really can disappoint you or it really can live up to the hype. And while I don't think this was Bong Joon-ho's best movie, I really did love it. I'm gonna have to go back and see it again. My personal Letterboxd rating is going to have to be a 4 out of 5 stars, and I think currently the overall Letterboxd rating is a 3.8 out of 5 stars, and Rotten Tomatoes for this film is currently at 80%. So definitely not as high as some of his other movies, such as Parasite being 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mickey 17 was just in a category of its own. You really can't compare it all that much to Parasite or his other films like Memories of Murder, The Host from 2006. It was just in a league of its own, but in a good way. So we're gonna get into it right now. Now, just a rough outline of the overall plot of Mickey 17 for those that aren't aware. Mickey 17 is set in a distant future, which honestly isn't that far away from our own time period that we're currently living in. And the plot really is a combination of church, corporation, and country. It's a little unclear, but nonetheless, it is led by a failed former politician, Kenneth Marshall, which is played by Mark Ruffalo. Him and a team are set off in a ship to colonize the inhospitable icy world called Niflheim. Now, where Robert Pattinson's character comes into play, running away from his own problems on Earth, such as a failed macaroon business, or macaron business for anyone that cares, Mickey Barnes, aka Robert Pattinson's character, signs up to be an expendable, where he'll do the deadliest tasks on the spaceship and on the new planet, and if he dies, slash when he dies, he'll be reprinted as a clone with all of his memories intact. Hence the name Mickey 17, as this story really centers around the 17th clone, I guess you want to say, of the original Mickey Barnes. There's also some play with Mickey 18 in here, but I won't say too much because I don't want to spoil anything for those that are planning on seeing the movie, which everyone should. Now, personally, this is the type of movie that you should see in the theaters while it's still out and not wait for streaming. I just think the visuals are really stunning and something that is magnified on the big screen and just doesn't do it justice if you're watching it on like your laptop or in the living room or on your phone. And now stay with me for this part. Not that I'm comparing this movie as similar to Interstellar, but I'm just saying in the sense of Interstellar, seeing that in the theater for the 10th anniversary release was unlike anything else when I've seen it on my phone or my TV before. Seeing it in the movie does not compare. It is just such an experience, and that's just how I feel with Mickey 17. Like, you get all the visuals really amplified. So this is one of the movies that I think really should encourage people to go back to the theater to see something. I think it was great visually. I thought it was beautiful. It looked awesome. There was great CGI and practical sets that really solidified the sci-fi concept that Bong Joon-ho was going for in this. Now, part of why I think this movie is pretty special to Bong Joon-ho's legacy is just his commentary on capitalism, and human and animal rights also plays a big role in this movie. There's a bunch of genre and tone hopping, which isn't that different from Bong Joon-ho and his directing style. If you know, he loves to make movies that aren't really confined into just one specific genre, one specific box. And that's really the same thing for Mickey 17. It can't be confined into its own specific box. I can't really think of another word to try and describe that as, so I just repeated it and I apologize. But as for the film, I think this movie was hysterical and definitely Bong Joon-ho's most comedic movie in terms of satirical dialogue and just dark humor. Robert Pattinson killed it on this comedic front. This movie might have been his best performance in recent years, and I think it really shows his acting range and how versatile he can be in this film. I've seen a bunch of Robert Pattinson movies, obviously not all of them, but I think he really takes on these more serious roles sometimes, or your typical, well, he is known for Twilight and Harry Potter and Batman, so you have that whole imagination realm of the roles he's played, but I think this might have been his best one. I think he was really funny. I think he acted it great. I think his dialogue was good. I think his comedic timing was great. I thought he killed it. Not that it's an Oscar-worthy performance. I don't think this movie has really any Oscar-worthy contending, maybe besides the visual aspect of it. But otherwise, I think Robert Pattinson should be very proud of his performance, and I'm sure he is proud. Additionally, with the comedic aspect, I think Mark Ruffalo and Toni Collette killed it. Their characters can be described as you love to hate them, but they were definitely the biggest comedic relief with some comments and just how idiotic they can be throughout the film. I know I was definitely getting annoyed, but you can't help but laugh at Mark Ruffalo. I think another film that kind of compares this performance is his role in Poor Things alongside Emma Stone with that dark comedy. I think Mark Ruffalo is very good at that, and I haven't seen a lot of his films, but he is a very good actor, and I'm sure everyone knows that. He's done a lot of more serious roles like Dark Waters and stuff, but I thought he did a great job. Same thing with Toni Collette. I only really know her in serious roles like Hereditary, but she was pretty funny. I think that she fit the part perfectly for this. At first, I wasn't really sure how she was gonna mesh with Bong Joon-ho's directing style for this specific film, but I thought it was great. Now, one of the biggest surprises for me of Mickey 17 is how emotional this film was. Not that I cried, but you really feel for this character, Mickey Barnes, aka Robert Pattinson, for his plight and for his connection with the creatures, aka the creepers that are on the icy planet, and once you see the movie, you'll know a lot more about what I'm talking about. It's much more sweeter than in the trailers as portrayed, which leans into the movie's goofiness, which I think Bong Joon-ho is trying to make it out to be. You might shed a tear as the old couple next to me did, but I did not. However, it was definitely emotional. I definitely will say, while this movie was great in its own regard, it did not live up to Parasite or Memories of Murder just in terms of Bong Joon-ho's movie discography. Not that anything will, and you really can't compare these movies. Just personally, if I had to rank my favorite Bong Joon-ho movies, this would not be the top of my list. But again, I thought it was great. 4 out of 5 stars, so definitely it's worth the watch. While I love this movie, and I think I'm definitely gonna see this movie again, but I do think that the film fizzled out a little bit in the third act with just a boring ending in comparison to the first and second act of the film. I did see on the internet about rumors swirling that Warner Bros., who were the producers of this movie, and Bong Joon-ho had disagreements with the ending of the film, so maybe that had something to do with the plain and kind of boring ending. Now, while this movie was definitely very funny and just a fun sci-fi watch in general, there were a lot of deep meanings. Like I just said, it was pretty emotional. For example, the loss of identity and self-worth played a big role in this. As Robert Pattinson's character, Mickey, repeatedly dies and is reprinted, he is grappling with the loss of a true self, questions his own existence and purpose in the system that values him only as an expendable unit. I thought that was very deep. I also think that Bong Joon-ho, as we said before, he loves to do commentary on social class and working class, and this is no different. The social commentary on labor practices played a big role in this movie. This expendable concept mirrors real-world concerns, I guess just about workers being treated as easily as replaceable, especially in low-wage jobs, as Mickey 17 or Mickey Barn was definitely at the lowest-ranking job on the spaceship. Additionally, as calling him Mickey 17, the 17 in Mickey's name, I think that was definitely a symbol that Bong Joon-ho was trying to go for, as Mickey's name signifies not just an individual part of a replacement series, but just also emphasizes that lack of personal values assigned to him. They really don't give two shits about him, except for a few characters. Not that they don't care about him, but you can even see with Mark Ruffalo and Toni Collette's characters, they just view him as property, as rotten meat, as they like to say, that's just trash and to be discarded over and over again. But I definitely loved how Bong Joon-ho incorporated all these deep themes into something that was pretty funny and just a really lighthearted watch at the end of the day. Now let's take a little bit of a look at Bong Joon-ho's directing legacy. For those that aren't that aware, Bong Joon-ho is a South Korean director and is the recipient of multiple Academy Awards. Arguably, in my opinion, and I'm sure many people's opinions, he is the most influential South Korean filmmaker of all time. For those that don't agree, you can kick rocks, because take a look at his discography of film. He really is something unique and makes movies that are just incredible. And again, if you disagree that he hasn't had some directorial influence, then you are just missing the point. And some of his films, if you aren't that aware, as previously mentioned, even in episode 1, Parasite from 2019, Memories of Murder 2003, that was a very good movie. If you like more of a true crime, that is definitely the movie that you should go for. I gave that 5 stars. Snowpiercer, that's another one of his sci-fi movies from 2013. I thought that was very fun, starring Chris Evans. I just watched this the other day, actually. Okja from 2017, that was on Netflix, a Netflix original. It has a bunch of A-list characters such as Tilda Swinton, Jake Gyllenhaal, Lily Collins was in it, Steven Yeun. It was great. And then The Host from 2006, I also just recently watched that. That was like a monster blockbuster for South Korea. Great movie, not my favorite one of his, but definitely a fun watch. And Mother from 2009. The list just goes on of all of his works. And his work is characterized by this emphasis on social and class themes, genre shifts, dark humor, and more. And one of my favorite things about Bong Joon-ho is how failure just plays a major theme in his work. Dating back to the feudal police investigation at the center of his 2003 breakthrough Memories of Murder, it's a period piece about an unseen serial killer who doesn't just evade his pursuers, but the viewer as well. And not that his work doesn't mock failure, he sees it as essential to the human condition. Bong Joon-ho loves to make characters that are lovable losers, whose victories, when they occur, tend to be temporary. That is also very prominent in Parasite. You can see things going very well for the main family, and then all of a sudden, it just takes a drastic turn in a way that you probably were not expecting. I guess the best way to just describe Bong Joon-ho's movies, they're just satisfyingly unsatisfying, in the sense of it never really works out for the characters in the end, but you have fun watching, it works out for them a little bit until things take a drastic turn, but I just think that's very unique about his directing style, something that I love. And as I've been saying probably this whole episode, I'm probably just kissing ass to Bong Joon-ho, but he's just one of my favorite directors, if not the top five directors on my list. There's something just really memorable about his films, no matter the plot. Like, even the movies I just listed, we had True Crime, we have a monster blockbuster, we have sci-fi, we have thriller, even with some dark comedy. Like, they really go from a bunch of different ranges, and his work is just really memorable. I think that he deserves all the accolades he's received. And again, not that Mickey 17 was my favorite Bong Joon-ho movie, but it definitely would be in the top three. So, not bad. So, I think if I have to personally rank my favorite Bong Joon-ho movies, we would go number one, Parasite. Number two, I would say Memories of Murder. Then I would land Mickey 17 at three. Then I would say number four would be Okja. And five, I would have to say The Host. Yeah, so that is going to be my top five rating. So Mickey 17 falls right in the middle. It's not horrible by any means because, I mean, you can't really have a horrible movie, I feel like, with that cast, this anticipation, this director, Warner Bros. I'm sure you could have a bad movie, but if anything, if it was a disappointment, it would have just been a poor sci-fi action movie, but it wasn't that. I see a lot of people online did not like this movie, so I definitely would like to rewatch this just to see if there's anything that I'm personally missing. But I think that with the themes, the emotional complexities going on, the acting portrayals from Robert Pattinson and Mark Ruffalo, this was a must-watch movie. It's definitely one of those movies where you don't really check your phone to see how long until it's over. We've all been a victim of being in one of those movies. Most recently, the movie that I felt that way was The Monkey, starring Theo James, based off of the Stephen King novel. I saw that with my friend. It was only an hour and a half, but it literally felt like a lifetime. So you know what? Mickey 17 was 2 hours and 17 minutes, and it flew by. Again, definitely recommend seeing this movie in the theater just because the visuals, there's nothing like it. I saw it in the Dolby Theater at AMC. Maybe I should see it next in IMAX just to see if there's anything different with that viewing experience, because I remember when Oppenheimer came out, people were saying, if you do not see this movie in IMAX, you're doing it wrong. So I'm gonna have to figure that out and get back to you guys. I really do hope some of you go see this movie, maybe give a little Letterboxd rating. If you're gonna give it a Letterboxd rating, please give me a follow. I am Casey Cap, that is K-A-S-E-Y-Y-C-A-P on Letterboxd. I definitely do like to leave some in-depth reviews. My one for Mickey 17 was not that in-depth because I knew I was gonna do it on the pod. So maybe one day we can do a little more of digging about the overall plot through the scenes. I didn't want to give that much away just because this movie just came out, but I definitely feel like it lived up to the hype that I thought it would. So this was really our first major deep dive into a big release because this movie was very anticipated. I think that the end of February, maybe the whole month of February, there was really nothing to look forward to going to the theater. I know that Brave New World, Captain America came out. That movie, in the nicest way possible, was just not it. It was definitely fun. I mean, who doesn't love a battle scene like that over the ocean? It was basically like real life battleship, USA versus Japan. It was a fun watch. It was nothing great, but it was fun. So if you're looking for a good movie, Mickey 17 is it. I'm looking at my AMC app right now. There's not really any major releases coming out, so maybe our next blockbuster is gonna have to be Novocaine. I think that movie looks absolutely horrible. I think it's one of those movies where they only showed the good parts in the trailer, and then when you watch the movie, there's really nothing else to look forward to that you haven't seen before. Hopefully I'm wrong, because I do like Jack Quaid as an actor. I think even though he's a Nepo baby, he definitely has worked in the industry for a while. He deserves movies he's getting roles in, just like Companion. I thought that was a great movie. Do not think Novocaine coming out next week will live up to it. After that, there's just the Minecraft movie. I mean, we definitely should do a deep dive into that movie just for the fun of it. Black Bag also comes out next week. That is starring Cate Blanchett and Michael Fassbender. The trailer, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory what's going on. It definitely looks a little weird, but it could be like a fun thriller, a little marriage thriller. Ooh, I'm very excited to see, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Opus, A24's newest movie starring Ayo Edebiri. I love her. I think she's personally hysterical in The Bear. Just everything I've seen of her online, even her Letterboxd reviews too, are awesome. So maybe that can be our next blockbuster release. I don't know if I'm boycotting Disney's Snow White, but if I decide to not boycott, we definitely can talk about that. I think that would be interesting to talk about this new wave of remakes, because I know I've seen a lot of people saying that Hollywood is just lacking in coming up with original ideas, which may be true, but I know Disney is very big on trying to do remakes for each generation, so they have that story. Something dumb, but I'm excited for the remake of, not remake, but the newest Toy Story. The last one sucked so bad, so hopefully Toy Story 5, even though they probably shouldn't be making it, hopefully it is something worth watching. I also am excited for the new Incredibles movie, so that I'm very on board with Disney doing. The remake with Snow White, I'm not sure if we really needed to do. But we can definitely talk about those remakes in terms of those blockbusters. For those that have made it to the end of the podcast, if there's anything to take away, it would be number one, go see Mickey 17 ASAP in your local theater. Number two, definitely take part in watching some of other Bong Joon-ho's works. I think maybe I should go a little more in depth in a different episode dissecting Parasite, because we can talk about that for hours and hours, just how good it was. This is the second episode I'm now saying that. Let's see what happens in the third. So that's our second takeaway. And the third takeaway is just watch a movie. Like I said in the last episode, if there's anything I want to really encourage over time with the podcast, is just to bring that love of cinema back. So you know what? If you aren't compelled to see Mickey 17, then I have failed at that aspect. But hopefully I succeed in getting everyone to watch a different movie, get that love of film back, and just enjoy your time watching a movie. There's really nothing like it. So thanks for listening to episode 2 of Uncapped, episode 3 currently pending, and enjoy.